It's time! Hey, Dave, listen up, please!
Scotty, that's a great question. I got a question for you, though, Scotty. You know that there's other players on our team besides Desi.
But what are you waiting for?
I don't know. Something amazing.
Jones for three. And he banks it in.
Bailey. Up and in and a chance for three.
Welcome into the basketball podcast of Mid-America. Seth Campbell joined by Scotty Borderline via Zoom. And the Razorbacks with an 85-68 victory in the first round of the NCAA tournament. They move on to the second round, and, well, it was a huge win for the Hogs. They were down early, huge comeback to end the first half. We'll talk all about that here on the basketball podcast of Mid-America. Justin Smith, 29 points. On 9 of 17 shooting.
What a grown man he is.
What a grown man performance as well. I've just 13 rebounds. He added an assist. He had 5 steals, 2 blocks. Arkansas needed a post presence, and they got Jalen Williams back. And, you know, everybody was looking around to see who would be step up. But it was the guy that's been Mr. Steady all year long that was there for the Razorbacks when they needed him, and Justin Smith. Those 5 steals are huge, too. So we'll get into a little bit more of that. But just overall reaction, Scotty, the Raiders came to play. And I think the Hogs, you kind of could see the first 10 minutes or so that this was a team that just didn't have any NCAA experience.
Yeah, I think you're right. And Jalen Tate was the only guy that had an NCAA tournament game under his belt. And, you know, when Arkansas started mounting its comeback after it fell behind by 14, Jalen Tate played a really big role in that. I think he started the game 0-for-3 from the floor, and then by halftime he had 9 points on 3-of-7 shooting. So he hit 3 of his next 4 shots, had 5 rebounds, 3 assists. Like, that's, and then he finished with 15 points and 4 or 5 assists. Like, he was really good, and he's not going to get probably a ton of credit for this, but Jordan Burns really struggled. He really struggled, and Debo had a little bit to do with that too. Moses Moody here and there, but Jordan Burns didn't score until early in the second half. Right. Like, he went at halftime 0-of-7 from the floor, had knocked down 3, hadn't scored at all. And I think he had like 3 or 4 turnovers at halftime. So Arkansas gave him a lot of fits. Other Colgate guys stepped up, but, you know, in the end, it's Justin Smith having a monster game. Moses Moody started off out like he was Arkansas's only life offensively in the early going. And then his production kind of slowed down. But when that happened, JD Notte got going. Devo Davis got in the open floor. Like we talked about that being a big key the other day. He needed to get in the open floor, get some big buckets, because those can be pretty demoralizing. And I think Moses ended up in double figures. But Jalen Tate, JD Notte, Justin Smith, Devo, like, those guys just – they really stepped up. And they got – I mean, their defense – they turned it up a notch. Like, 16, 17 minutes into the game, Arkansas goes to some full court pressure, and it just completely flips the game on its head.
Yeah, that is the key in this game, is going to be that full court pressure, looking back on it for the Razorbacks. I watched a game, the first 4 was yesterday, Scotty, and it was Texas State, which is that Johnny Jones is their coach? Is that his name?
Yeah, Texas.
Mm-hmm. The former LSU coach, that Musselman.
One of Eric Musselman's guys.
Yeah, exactly. And so it was kind of ironic that they were trailing at the half. I turned on the game, and they started pressing in the second half, and that started getting their offense going, just getting them in rhythm. When you press, it almost seems like you take away the thinking part of the game. And sometimes in NCAA tournament games, you can think too much. You can think about the atmosphere that you're playing against. You know, if you don't want to take a bad shot, because if it doesn't go in, every possession is crucial, because it could be your last game of the year. So when you take all those things away and you start to press, all of a sudden you're just reacting and playing basketball, which all of these guys are playing. And you can afford to do that in a game against a team that you are just better on the athletic side of things than they are. And so I felt like that once Arkansas did that on the defensive end, it forced Colgate into tougher shots, but it also, for whatever reason, got Arkansas's offense going as well.
Yeah, they scored tons of points off turnovers. And that's what, I mean, they scored 21 of their 36 first half points off turnovers. And when I think Colgate had 7 turnovers in the last 4 or 5 minutes, I mean, that's pretty big. And I mean, I don't think there was a bigger bucket in the game than Devo corralling that loose ball with like 4 or 5 seconds left in the first half. And then somehow he gets off a layup on the other end. That was pretty mind blowing. And then you couple that with the pass between his legs, like he was playing center for Brad Davis. I mean, he's a walking human highlight reel. And like you mentioned, like Arkansas's defense getting turned up a notch, that allowed some guys to just play more instinctively. And like you said, not think about it. Like once you're really getting after it defensively, you know, just things just, you just start playing like how you know to, and you just start playing a little bit more freely. And there's not many guys in this tournament field that I want playing freely more than Devo and JD Notte, because JD Notte is going to airball a 3 and then he's going to hit a step back from 30 and he's going to bring all the momentum on your side. But that defensive change for Arkansas was pretty big, and being able to get out and run and just utilize your athleticism, because I mean the athleticism disparity was just massive. Mm. Massive. And Colgate, you know, couldn't figure out how to get the shots that they wanted once Arkansas, you know, really ratcheted up their defense. And Eric Musselman's talking about how, you know, everybody was talking about Colgate likes to score. They're really good offensively, like to play in the 80s. Well, Arkansas lives there. So Colgate, if you want to run with us, come on.
Yeah.
Like that basically dared them to get into a track meet with them, and they wanted no part of it.
And on the other side of the ball, Scotty, talking about going from Arkansas's defense, is they forced turnovers, forcing 22, but they also were able to take care of the ball. They didn't start out the game doing that. I think they had 4 turnovers before the first media timeout.
The 3 in the first 4 minutes he was on the floor, and then you know, he really settled in.
And I think that was another thing of, one, changing the offense to where you're just playing and not trying to find a guy or maybe force a pass inside. But Arkansas's 10 turnovers, that's getting it back to where Arkansas lived for the majority of the season. In postseason play in the SEC tournament, they were hanging around the 20s in both of their games. And so that's where you like to see that turnover ratio be for the Razorbacks, is down there around the single digits if you can hang out there. It'll be interesting to see how they handle Texas Tech. Texas Tech likes to play good defense. They're not going to run up and down the court per se, but they'll get in your grill and play defense. So if Arkansas can limit turnovers there too, then that'll be a big key for the Razorbacks going forward against the Red Raiders.
All right. Yeah, Arkansas's turnover rate, according to KenPom, was 12.8%. That's their lowest mark since the Kentucky game on the road, when it was 8.2. So, I mean, if you would have told me Arkansas's turnover rate was going to be under 13% in this game after the way they started, I wouldn't have believed you. But you got those jitters out, got the nerves out, just started playing, you know, in the flow of the game. You know, things tend to take care of themselves.
Yeah, for sure. All right, we've gone far enough not to talk about Justin Smith. As I mentioned earlier, 29 points, 9 of 17 from the floor. A big key here is he got 11 points at the free throw line, going 11 of 13, which is huge. 13 rebounds. I think the 5 steals too. He got 2 big steals in the first half that kept Arkansas within striking distance for a while until Colgate was able to expand their lead to double digits. But I really think that while he had never been in an NCAA tournament, he was the veteran presence that Arkansas could lean on in this NCAA tournament game.
Yeah, he's just so steady, man. And every time I talk about him, I say he's the team dad, but he was, you know, composed and poised and all those different adjectives that you can use about him. And, you know, you sent us a text or a tweet from Hogstats. Justin Smith is the second player ever to reach 29 plus points, 13 plus rebounds, 5 plus steals, and 2 plus blocks in an NCAA tournament game. And the other one was Danny Manning in the 1988 national championship game. That's absurd.
going off of that stat, Hogstats later tweeted and said that the NCAA stats go back to like 19, I can't remember. It's like 40 something or 30 something on sportsreference.com is where he pulled that stat. So he's like, I don't think that there's anybody, but if there were any other NCAA tournament games before that, but still in the modern era of college basketball.
Yeah. I mean, he
only was one, two people.
Yeah. He's awesome. And even if you want to throw that, if you want to just throw that to the side, he's the first Razorback since Corliss Williamson in April of 1994 to go for 29-13 in a game. Good company. He was a man among boys out there today.
Yeah, he looked every part of it. It was a game that when we talked to Simon Gersberg, shotquality.com, he said that maybe Connor Vanover would have a big factor in it. Vanover, a non-factor. Jalen Williams got on the court, really wasn't a factor. And the ability of Musselman and his staff, he talked about it in the postgame a little bit, and you can check out the postgame interview on WholeHogSports.com. But they didn't plan to play Justin Smith at the five. That was never the plan with the team leading up. But he said his son came in, and they thought that they might have to do that the day before. They just talked about it. And so just the preparedness and the willingness by Musselman and his staff to know that this might be something that they do, and then the willingness to do it and see it really pay off is something as well.
I mean, you put four guards around Justin Smith, you're small, but he's also your best rebounder. Like, he's going to grab 20 rebounds in a game. Like, if you put him in there for close to 40 minutes, he didn't quite get there, but I think he had 13, 5 on the offensive glass. And so even if you're missing shots with those guards surrounding him, good chance Justin Smith's going to grab one. And then there's a really good chance if the team you're playing misses a shot, Justin Smith's probably going to grab the defensive rebound too. He's everywhere. And I looked this up. He had 18 points in the second half against Colgate. He scored 18 points or less in 19 games this year. And today against Colgate was the first time since the Missouri game on the road that he missed more than two shots in the second half. But he went 5 for 10, so he still hit half of his shots. He's now shooting 74.2% the second half of the last nine games.
74.2.
He flips the switch, and it's pretty much over. Like, efficient is not the word. I don't know if hyper efficient is like an actual word, but it fits Justin.
It does indeed. Justin had some help. As you said, Moody started the scoring off. Arkansas cooled off. But if you could get Moody to come out every single game like that, like we saw against LSU and we saw against Colgate, more oftentimes than not, if you start to have to worry about Moody, then that is going to open up the lane and open up shots for other guys on the team. And Davis went 6 of 11 from the field today. Like, I feel like that was a quiet 6 of 11. I remember a few of his misses, but he's able to get his shots, get his – looks when he can. And then you have guys like Note going 4 of 12. That's not, I mean, that could be normal Note, but more often than not, Note is going to get good shots and better shots than he did today. He only went 3 of 8 from the behind the line. Arkansas only made 5 3-pointers. So there's a lot of things that you can look at in the stat line and say, hey, these are all things that Arkansas can improve on in a game that they almost won by 20 points. They ended up winning by 17.
I really like the shots that Devo got. Like you said, he was 6 of 11. I remember one of the shots that he knocked down. I'm just like, if he's making, I think it was he caught on the left wing, could have taken a three if he wanted, but he took a dribble. You know, it was a long two. You know, analytics people hate the long two, but that's really in the wheelhouse for Devo, I think. And he stepped into that shot in rhythm, all net. And I'm like, Devo is knocking this shot down in Arkansas is going to be really, really tough to beat. And then one of the shots that I remember him missing was like, I think he had a couple misses near the rim. And so he's going to make those more often than not. So big plus for Devo getting the shots that he wanted. I mean, he took good shots, I don't think there may have been one that I didn't really care for. But other than that, I mean, he had a hell of a tournament debut. I mean, you go for double figures and you're all over the place on defense. You make a couple highlight reel plays, get out in the transition, and, you know, get some easy buckets there. That had to be fun for him.
Yeah, for sure. All right, Scotty, before we look ahead now to Texas Tech, that's Arkansas's opponent. They were in a battle with Utah State up until the second half, where they decided to pull away and ended up beating Utah State 65-53. I know you have some other things that you want to talk about from this game, so I'll give the floor to you.
Oh, on Texas Tech?
No, sorry, on the wrapping up Arkansas versus Colgate.
Oh, yeah. So JD Notae, I wrote about him just a minute ago. Eric Musselman has used a baseball analogy for JD multiple times this year. He's, you know, compared him to a guy who's either going to come up to the plate and strike out, or he's going to come to the plate and he's going to hit you a home run. First half, he was 0 for 4. Arkansas was playing well with him on the floor, because he was on the floor when Arkansas went on that big run toward the end, but his offense just wasn't there. Like, he was pitching in on defense, but 0 for 4 from the floor. Second half, he goes 4 of 8, pours in all 14 of his points. And I think Arkansas was like plus 26 with him in the lineup today. That's really good stuff. And I mean, he had three more steals today. So I think he's got multiple steals in like six of Arkansas's last seven games. And he's averaging close to three a game over his last seven. That's phenomenal. And then he's pitching in on the defensive glass too. He had four today. He's got four defensive rebounds in five of the last six. And so he's not just the microwave or the air fryer, as somebody tried to call him on the post-game press conference, but he's pitching in everywhere. And so it's hard to take a guy like that off the floor. And he's averaging over 9.5 points on nearly 50% shooting in the second half of the last five games. I mean, he's scored in double figures three times. He's been phenomenal. And his quick strike offense can just change a game in an instant. And that's one of the guys that you want to have on the floor this time of the year, because he can flip a game in a heartbeat.
Yeah. He's a guy that, as you said, can hit a home run or he can strike out. He's a no, great shot, JD. Every time up and down the court. If he can pull it from just about anywhere and it can go in, but he can also pull it and cause Eric Musselman to lose his absolute mind when Arkansas is on a run and getting the ball inside. Or, you know, he makes a three that is a good shot and then will literally just take the ball off the dribble, no passes, and shoot it again. You take the good with the bad, because you don't want to tell that player not to shoot. You just can't. And I think Musselman said that in a post-game press conference.
One of the quotes that I liked from Eric Musselman after the game, I've got it right here, I'll just go ahead and read it. He said, "Historically, I've had some players like JD, and I just give them freedom. I don't want to try to control their game. The beauty in some players is the freedom that you allow them." I mean, that's
the beauty.
That's perfect.
Yeah,
perfect, because JD is a guy that, you know, he can take advantage a little bit of the if you extend him some leash, like, he might take advantage of it a little bit. But Eric Musselman is just like, you know, he's talked to his guys, and it's not just JD. It's more than JD. Like, he's giving his guys more offensive freedom, and he's going to live with it as long as they're engaged on the defensive end. And JD is averaging three steals a game over the last however many weeks. Like, it's hard to take him off the floor right now. Like, it's really tough.
That's why he's the sixth man of the year for the Razorbacks. All right, moving ahead, looking to Texas Tech, the Razorbacks will play Sunday. We do not know a time or place yet. Stay tuned to wholehogsports.com for that information. It's kind of strange because most of the time, all these games that are happening in your quadrant would be played at the same place. So Arkansas and Texas Tech would have been played at the same place, but Arkansas is playing at where the Pacers play, and I believe Tech played at Assembly Hall where Indiana plays. So obviously they didn't play in the same place. Somebody's going to have to go to a different place, and they very well could change to where it's a new place for both of them. It's AAU tournament feel in a little bit about how you could, yeah, like six courts around the city that you're playing on.
I think that's good for Arkansas because they got a bunch of young guys fresh out of AAU.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right. Now we're just missing that we need three different courts side by side by side, just separated by a curtain, and then a whistle blows and you don't know if it was on your court or somebody else's.
You get lots of inadvertent whistles.
All right. Tech, obviously, Chris Beard. Some Razorback fans are familiar with him. It's his time at Little Rock. And just a, like a side note, I always forget this, but he was UNLV's coach for a week or something like that.
Not long.
Not long at all before Tech.
Vegas is only a 3-night town anyway.
There you go. Yeah, you don't want to stay there longer anyway. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. But $1 million buyout, and he finds himself at Texas Tech. And I think the Red Raiders are loving every single minute of that action with Chris Beard. He's never lost a first-round game, whether at Little Rock or at Texas Tech. It's going to be a matchup, and obviously things start with Mac McClung, Scotty.
Yeah, Mac McClung's a dude. Like, if you don't know Mac McClung, he's kind of cut from the same cloth a little bit as JD Notae, in that, you know, if he gets hot, he can really scorch you. Like, he can really make you pay if you're not paying attention to him offensively. But I think this game, you know, Eric Musselman kind of said after the Colgate game that, you know, Arkansas is an underrated defensive team. Okay, so you look at this Arkansas-Texas Tech matchup. If you're just like the casual basketball fan, who would you say has the better defense? It's probably Texas Tech, right?
Right.
But you on KenPom, Arkansas now has the number 9 defensive efficiency in the country. Texas Tech is 21. How about that? So Arkansas is actually the better defensive team. They are, I would probably bet a lot of money that Arkansas's, you know, they're actually pretty even. They're actually pretty even offensively, so I would have lost a lot of money there if I'd have kept running. But it's going to be a good game. Two really good defenses. Texas Tech's a little bit better offensively, I think, than I might have imagined. But I think it's just going to come down to who can string more consecutive stops together. I mean, I think that's pretty much it, because Texas Tech's going to make it tough. Like, they're pretty physical in the interior too. Their guards can be that way as well. But Arkansas's probably better on the defensive end. And that's kind of crazy to think about if you're just, you know, on the outside looking in without some of these advanced numbers. But Arkansas's defense up for this challenge too.
McClung, a transfer from Georgetown, playing his first year at Texas Tech. Arkansas reached out to him, just like Arkansas reaches out to every single person that puts their name in the portal, though, and wanted him to come here. Instead, he finds himself at Tech. He's averaging 15.7 points per game, according to Sports Reference, which is exactly what he averaged in his last year at Georgetown. He's a menace, and he can make the offense go for sure, but there are other people on that team, and this is just not going to be a game. This is just not going to be the same game, Scotty, that we saw the Razorbacks play against Colgate. If Arkansas gets to 70 points, I got a good feeling that they're going to win the game.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right about that for sure. And, you know, the teams that you're playing, that Arkansas will have played after Sunday, are just like polar opposites of one another, because Colgate played in the Patriot League. Like, that's not a terrific basketball conference, no matter who's talking to you. It's not. And then your second game is against a Big 12 team. I mean, the Big 12 is it's the second best conference in America behind the Big 10, even though Ohio State did go down to Oral Roberts. My national champion and a couple teams, probably 3 teams in my Elite Eight, are from the Big 10. So Texas Tech's going to be battle-tested, but so is Arkansas. Like, there's some tough, physical, grinded-out teams, explosive scoring teams in the SEC too, so I'm pretty pumped about it. I think if you're an Arkansas fan, just kind of looking at Texas Tech right now, the guy that you need to be concerned with outside of Mac McClung is Kyler Edwards. He's shooting 41% from three. He's knocked down a team-high 53 threes, and just a pretty solid all-around team. Like, been hanging in the top 25 for most of the year. So it's going to be a good game. I can't wait. Sweet 16 spots on the line. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. I was watching some of that Texas Tech game. I can't remember who the play-by-play commentator was, but he said that this is the first year that since Beard has been at Tech that they've been in the top 25 from start to finish all year long. So they know the expectations. They've been there. It'll be a good game. You are exactly right, Scotty. A spot for the Sweet 16 is on the line. Really, the goal for Razorback fans since 1996 has been that Sweet 16. And Arkansas really with one of their best shots since 1996. And they weren't a favorite in 1996. I believe they were 12 seed. So really their best shot since 1995, in all honesty, to get to that second, or to that second weekend and stay in the bubble just a little bit longer. Eric Musselman, I'm sure, is thrilled about that. He is thrilled. Don't get me wrong. I'm just poking a little bit of fun at the NCAA bubble. It's going to be a good game. As you mentioned, Oral Roberts beat Ohio State, which they are on Arkansas's side of the bracket as well. So Florida will play Ohio State, and we'll get to see those two teams. The winner of those two teams will play the winner of Arkansas and Texas Tech.
Yep. Arkansas's potential path to an Elite Eight just got, potentially easier.
Yes, potentially. First things first, got to take care of Tech. And we will have you taken care of if you want any information about these next few weekends. It's a busy weekend. The first weekend always is. But Whole Hog Sports will have you covered. Stay with Scotty, Matt, Tom, Bob, Dudley, the entire crew. They'll get you covered for everything that is happening up in Indianapolis. You can check out all their stuff, like I said, on wholehogsports.com. Well, for Scotty Bordelon, I am Seth Campbell saying thank you for listening. We will be back next week. We might do a post-game Texas Tech reaction, so stay tuned and I'm on the lookout for that. But for sure, regardless of what happens on Sunday, we will be back next week. Hopefully, it's to talk a little bit about Arkansas's next matchup. Well, for Scotty Bordelon, I am Seth Campbell saying so long, and we will see you back here later in the week.